USA. I want to urge you to become a partner with us day after day. Day after day, year after year, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you, and indeed, let's all get on board and mentor like Jesus.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Ron Brown, and we're going to be talking about what's happening to the economy again. They tell us that 9.5% of the number of people, workers in the United States, are currently unemployed. Now, what does that really mean in far as human beings are concerned? Percentage points really don't give you any idea of the human dimension of what we're talking about. But almost 15 million people are frankly unemployed. There are another 9 million people who fit into that category of underemployed or just having given up. So we're talking really almost 25 million Americans have had their lives disrupted by this intentional, planned, and carefully orchestrated collapse of our economy. 2.25 million people lost their homes. They were foreclosed on last year. As of the 1st of July, about 1.8 million Americans had lost their homes this year. Another 2.5 million homes are in the process of foreclosure, and another 250,000 are being foreclosed on every month. In other words, they enter foreclosure. And, of course, you have to understand the Obama administration keeps saying, well, we've got a wonderful new program, but we just can't get all the kinks out of it, and we're not getting any help from the lenders. We're asking them to, of course, give a $20,000 rebate, and we're offering about $1,000 in return, and we don't understand why they won't work with us, and we're offering them $1,000 if they'll just write off a large part of the loan, and it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all designed to give you the idea that they're trying to correct the problem. They had $700 billion last October when Henry Paulson got the TARP funds, which were supposed to be used to buy up the troubled assets. That's what they call it, TARP, Troubled Asset Relief Program. And those troubled assets were the home loans. They refused to do anything then, and they're doing very little now that is of any real consequence. Just look at the results. And they say, we're doing our best. We're going to come up with a program one of these days. Well, I think it's all simply rhetoric over reality to give the American people the idea we're really trying to avoid that, sort of like we trying to avoid going to war with Iran. I think it's only a matter of time before we do, but you've got to give the American people the idea that we're doing everything we can to avoid it, sort of like before we went to war with Japan. We put an embargo on Japan. That was an act of war. We made it so they couldn't buy raw materials anywhere in the world. How does a little island, kingdom survive if you can't buy raw materials and you're dependent on production? They couldn't buy oil anywhere in the world. How does any society run in the modern world without oil? And then we know they were going to attack Pearl Harbor. They had no alternative. They had to do something to break the stranglehold on their economy. And then suddenly, but we had to give the American people the idea we were doing everything we could to avoid it. Ron Brown, how are you doing tonight?
It's always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, what do you think about what's going on?
Well, you know, it's amazing that diatribes you just went through with everything that's going on, and yet all Wall Street talks about and Washington is all the green shoots coming up. You know, that takes an awful lot of gall while everyone's losing their jobs, losing their houses, layoffs just running rampant, and they're telling us that the worst is over and we're now in the beginning of a major recovery. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so sick, you know?
It would be hilarious if it weren't so tragic, so much human suffering. Well, Ron, tell me what's going on. Certainly we saw the gold and silver market really bouncing back here really very nicely this last few days.
Well, you know, everyone talks about the summer doldrums, the old sell in May and go away mentality, and of course, psychologically, that could have some impact on the market. But the reality is that gold is not being driven by jewelry demand out of India, which is usually the excuse for gold dropping during the summer months because that's when they take their vacation. Gold is being driven by the flight out of paper money, not just the dollar, but all paper money. So while we had a little dip due to the psychological aspect of it, we really haven't seen any major dip. And it's acting mighty buoyant here, and I'm starting to read a lot of the experts are saying we could be ready for the next major assault for 1,000. And once we cross through 1,000, as Jim Sinclair so aptly says, we'll soon challenge 1,250 and then on up to $1,650, maybe even $2,000 an ounce. And of course that doesn't mean a thing until you see what a hamburger costs or what the dollar will buy. And of course, if we go into some type of hyperinflation and the destruction of the dollar, then gold in terms of dollars is going to be heading towards infinity. So it's not a very pretty picture. I don't know about you, Dr. Stan, but I'm reading everywhere people predicting a bank holiday or a default on our debt or economic collapse. And they're talking not a year out or 6 months out. They're talking August, September, October. So when you realize that the economy is more a confidence game than anything, and then you start to see the confidence unraveling worldwide as it is, it wouldn't shock me to see this thing hit tilt and go into a free fall at any time.
Well, you know, there's an interesting story that's going around. It really began with Bob Chapman and his international forecaster. But Bob claims that he was told by people working in a foreign American embassy that they were getting a lot of money. They were being given a large amount of money in these embassies to go out and buy local currency because something big was going to happen perhaps in September or October, and they wanted our embassies to be able to have local currency so they could continue operating. Well, of course, the story was actually picked up by Harry Schultz and a couple of other newsletters, has been widely circulated all across the country that these people from the embassies were actually anticipating something major happening, as you say, in September or October, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just telling Ron Brown about the story that Bob Chapman had started, maybe 2 months ago, where he actually said that he'd been contacted by people in American embassies in foreign countries, or an American embassy in a foreign country, and told that they were being sent large sums of U.S. dollars and told to go out and purchase local currency so that the embassy would be able to continue operating if for some reason the local people did not want to accept the dollar. Now, of course, in the past, there's been a time when the dollar had really tumbled and people in other countries didn't want to accept dollars and they would accept anything but dollars. And then, of course, the dollars come back again. Well, anyway, of course, I had Bob on here just yesterday, and I asked him about that story, if there was any truth to it. It's been picked up by other newsletters. And suddenly Bob told me that he has had the same story from six different embassies. Is that true? Well, I have no reason to doubt him at all. That he says that six different embassies, people in six embassies, have confirmed the fact that the State Department is sending large sums of paper dollars, or at least transferring the equivalent of paper dollars, to embassies all throughout the world with instructions, start buying local currencies so your embassies can continue operating. And, of course, what this suggests is either the dollar is going to fall, or there's going to be a bank holiday, or something is going to happen. I'm sure you've heard all of these rumors as well, haven't you, Ron?
Oh, I've had five or six people call today with the same type of rumors. And so, who knows whether it's true or not. I suspect it probably is, because it doesn't take a genius to see that we're running out of ways to finance this massive debt that we're accumulating. But even if it isn't true, just the rumors getting out have a tendency to destroy the confidence in the system, and the whole thing is nothing but a confidence game. So any of these type of stories that get out that help to destroy confidence ultimately will help to crash the whole system. And it's just a matter of time. You know, every fiat system ever created in the history of the world has always totally failed. And, you know, as you and I have studied, and we know there's an agenda behind this. This isn't just a bunch of fools up in Washington making stupid mistakes. The people running the show have an agenda. So ultimately, they want to pull the plug on the system, and they'll create their new world order out of the chaos from the old. So
I really think that's exactly what they want. You remember it was about 2 months ago when AIG, which now is owned by the government since they put $180 billion into this insurance company, saying, "Oh, it's just too big to fall." And then, of course, we have our man, Mr. Liddy, appointed, by our government to run AIG, and so they end up giving $12.5 billion to Goldman Sachs and $12.5 billion to J.P. Morgan, Chase, and I think they gave away $30 or $40 billion and just transferred the wealth of the American people to these major banks. And people said, well, why did they negotiate? These were supposedly derivative contracts that had to be settled, and after all, we couldn't go back on the AIG's promise. We had picked up the responsibility for AIG, and AIG had promised before we ever took over control that they would honor these derivative contracts or CDS, credit default swaps contracts. And at the time, somebody said, why didn't our government negotiate and said, we'll give you 50 cents on the dollar? In fact, that's would be a lot more than they had given the bondholders and Sydney and General Motors. They ended up getting about 20 cents on the dollar, and the stockholders didn't get anything, and the bondholders got 20 cents on the dollar. Why did they want to give all that money to Goldman Sachs at the time? It just didn't make any sense until, of course, the second quarter earnings came out. And do you know that Goldman Sachs, for the second quarter of this year, earned $3.4 billion? And, gee, that drove the stock market up. And J.P. Morgan Chase, I think, made $2.5 billion. And I got thinking, you know, if somebody gave me $12.5 billion, I bet I could show a profit of $3.4 billion. Think what their losses would have been. The real losses were if the American taxpayer hadn't transferred all that hard-earned money to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase. And if that had happened, why, the stock market wouldn't be going up and everybody wouldn't be saying, look at those green shoots, things have got to be good because the market's going up. I think it's a sort of scam, and the average individual never even looks at it that way, do they?
No. And, you know, Dr. Stan, you've been talking for the last two or three times I've been on there about how the TARP funds were supposed to be used to help out the mortgage people and so forth. And I was just reading tonight before I went on air with you, in Jim Willey's column, he pointed out that Paulson issued direct orders to the banks not to use the funds to make new loans or anything, but to use the funds to buy out failing banks as the smaller banks start to go under. So here again we have the bailout, or the propping up of the big boys, the big, too big to fail, and they're propping them up and giving them the money to consolidate power and buy out the smaller banks. So, you know, it's the same old cycle every time we go through it. As we go into crisis, you end up with more and more power being held in the hands of fewer and fewer people at the top.
Well, I think what people have to understand is the difference between money and credit. I mean, money is the amount of actually the greenbacks and currency that is actually put out by the government. Credit is the artificial or phony money that is created by banks. You go on to go into the bank, you want to borrow $100,000, they lend you $100,000, but they don't give you the bills, they don't give you the money. They simply created it out of nothing. It's called credit. You get credit from the banks. And as long as the banks loan, they can loan 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, even up to 60 times the amount of money that they actually have, that is what we call credit. And as long as the banks keep creating this phony money, why, the economy prospers. When the big banks quit lending money, the economy collapses. And that's exactly what they did, you know, back in 1812, after Congress canceled the charter for the First Central Bank of the United States. This is exactly what they did in the 1830s, after Congress refused to renew the charter for the Second Bank of the United States. They simply pulled all the money out. They stopped lending money. They pulled the loans, called the loans, and they plunged the whole world, at least the whole of the United States, into abject poverty. And Andrew Jackson described, you know, the gloom, the despair, whole cities of the economy collapsed. That's just what they're doing today. But people don't understand that. I mean, they have done this to communities. They simply, the industries can't borrow any money, they can't borrow money, they can't keep going, and they've intentionally and purposely created this recession, but they can't let the American people know. This is the pattern that the banks did during the Great Depression, when they just quit loaning. But they're all in cahoots together. The Federal Reserve System is owned by the central banks, and now they want to give the Federal Reserve power, increases power to regulate the banks that own the Federal Reserve, and the average individual has no idea what's going on and how this whole thing fits into the Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course, how this is already intent upon, at this time in history, collapsing the economy of the United States and the entire world. It's amazing how we were able to get the whole world dependent upon us and using our dollar as the reserve currency of the world, and suddenly our system collapses and their system is collapsing all throughout the world as well. Well, Ron, certainly, what are people doing, are people that you're running into? Are a lot of them having real financial problems? Are they turning to gold, silver? Are some of them actually in a position where they actually have to cash in a little of their gold just to keep going because of course, they're having financial problems with income as well?
A little bit of all of the above, but more. In fact, I'm getting... believe it or not, some calls from stockbrokers that I've known and have a relationship with, and they're suddenly starting to send me some of their clients, and I'm sure it's not because they choose to do that. I'm sure their clients are going to them and saying, we want to buy some gold. So just today I had a guy call in for $100,000 and another one earlier this week. So, yeah, you're starting to see more and more people who've never bought gold or silver in their life starting to realize that something really is going haywire here, and they better look to gold and silver as a partial refuge. And of course, a lot of them are just sticking their feet in the water because they don't quite understand it yet, but they know something's wrong with where they're at, and they don't have much hope in their stock values, and they're getting scared of the bond market and so forth. So all paper assets, as people start to perceive or wonder whether a banking crisis is coming or an economic collapse, they suddenly realize that all their paper assets could get wiped out very, very quickly. So, you know, a lot of people are waking up real late in the game, but that's better late than never, I guess.
Well, at least they can preserve something, because, you know, really when you hear all these countries, major countries, talking about the fact that they're losing confidence in the dollar, when the BRIC nations get together, and I love how they create these new words. They call it the BRIC nations. That's Brazil, of course, Russia, India, and China. They just created this word within the last couple of months, and everybody's now referring to the BRIC nations. But these are the four major economies that's been planned for years. We would transfer our manufacturing to, and they're to become the great industrial giants. And these giants that we've created, these maybe Frankenstein monsters we've created, now are saying, well, we don't know whether we can trust the American dollar. We're going to need another currency. Well, you remove the reserve status from the American dollar, and all those dollars all throughout the world are going to come home. We've been exporting our inflation for years to other countries. In other words, we produced a lot of money, but of course it wasn't here, so it didn't drive our inflation. It drove inflation to the other countries. But now I think those dollars are coming home before they're very long if they don't put on controls. Well, Ron, I was just talking about the possibility of exchange controls. Have you heard any rumbles about perhaps putting exchange controls so people cannot get their money out of the United States or bring it back into the United States?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Rapidly, we're increasing debt. I mean, when Barack Obama actually got in there, the debt was about, well, at the beginning of this year, it was about $10.5 trillion. It's up to $12 trillion. We're talking about $1.5 trillion in just 6 months. This is truly incredible. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we've got somebody on line one. Let's see who it is. Apparently, we've got Pete calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, Ron Brown. And hello, Dr. Stan.
How are you doing, Pete?
You asked the question, well, what are people doing nowadays? Well, let me tell you one thing. I have been listening to both of you for quite a number of years, and everything you said is really happening, and you have helped me out tremendously, you know. And as a Christian, I have been able to help out so many of my fellow Christians. Before, I used to reach out to the lost. Nowadays, I'm reaching out to more of my fellow Christians who don't know what's going on yet. Because of the information that you've been giving us, I've been able to help out hundreds of Christians, and I think both of you know it. So that's what I have been doing. I have not been busy so much with the money. I've been more busy with trying to help my fellow Christians wake up like you have. I've been doing exactly what Dr. Stan says. Thank you for being a really, really good Christian station, for letting us know what's going on and what's coming up ahead and getting us ready for what's already started. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for being out there on the front lines, reaching those people that we can't reach through radio or internet or shortwave. But if you have the information and you're spreading it out, then Ron and I certainly feel that what we do is well worthwhile.
Well, I've talked it many times, and I know he's literally called to be the watchman of Ezekiel 33, because he talks to me about all the time how he's working with friends and people at the church and so forth. So just keep up the good work, Pete.
Okay, thanks. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Just fellow Christians, you know, they're not just talking about money. Please, they're not just talking about money. They're really, really watching for our souls. And, you know, they're trying to get us back to the holy shekel. Listen to Ron and Dr. Stan, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about a spiritual battle. But you got to make it to the point where people will listen, because most people are concerned about money. Without an understanding that the forces behind this whole intentional collapse of our economic system come from the dark side. And there really are secret societies. There really are people out there who want to destroy our economy. They hate America because it was once a great Christian nation. It's not anymore, but it once was a great Christian nation. And of course, they're doing a pretty good job. They want to collapse the world economy. And out of the chaos, they hope to bring in their new world leader. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, certainly, Ron, they manipulate the price of gold and silver down. They've done this for 3 or 4 weeks now. And now, of course, we're seeing gold back up to about $950. Silver was, what, $360 sometime today. I don't know how it closed, but it almost looks as if we're getting ready for maybe a run-up later this year. Is this simply, a foolish anticipation? Are they running out of their ability to continue manipulating these basic commodities? Are they running out of their ability to fill their orders? What about the availability of the American Eagle? We heard, at least temporarily, they were talking about cutting back on the release of the American Eagle. Can you get them readily through your dealers?
I can get the one-ounce coins. They've, you know, as you know, they stopped making the fractional size coins months ago, and they have not resumed that. So you can still get the 1 ounces readily. But see, that could dry up literally overnight. If you'll recall, Dr. Stan, back in March of last year, and remember, gold and silver had made a dramatic run the first 2.5 months of the year. I think gold went from, I'm trying to remember where it went from, 800 maybe up to 1,030 in the first 2.5 months. Silver went from like 15 to almost $22. And then they came in and just ambushed the market, drove silver down from 21 down to maybe $16 in a matter of days. Gold got back down in the 840 range, and yet what happened in one day, literally one day, and I'm not exaggerating one iota, basically every dealer in this country ran out of any silver.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Ron Brown, and we're talking about what's going on financially at certainly some of the most dangerous times in our nation's history. And right now, of course, we've got Mark calling in from Florence, Oregon, and we'll be with Mark in just a moment here as we bring our stations back on board from out across America. But we'll be back in simply a moment with our stations from the Christian Broadcasting Network and the American Christian Network. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown, and our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I interrupted Ron. You were beginning to make a point there just before we went to the break. Do you want to finish that?
I was just pointing out that March a year ago, after gold had made a good run up and silver had made a good run up, the
the bankers and the powers to be ambush the market, mostly in the futures market. They sell these paper contracts, flush the market down, all the leveraged hedge funds and players, and they drive the market down. But in that period, in that one-day period, every dealer in this country basically ran out of anything to sell. So I would issue that as a warning to people, because we've had this temporary reprieve over the summer doldrum months where we've got green shoots coming up everywhere and everyone's talking about the recovery of the economy. And, you know, if your stock portfolios are recovering some of their losses, then maybe you're not quite as anxious to get out of paper and into gold. So there's been a little bit of softness in the market as far as availability. That literally could dry up overnight, and I predicted it will, because any fear of a banking panic, and you could see just an outright scramble to get into whatever gold is left, and it could literally disappear in just a matter of hours.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have any question, any comment. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the most dangerous financial times of your life. And, of course, this is probably the greatest financial crisis we've had going back to the very inception of our nation, because at least before we had at least the opportunity for the workings of a free market, we do not have it now. We have a small clique of people who control the reins of government. They work through the Trilateral Commission, the Brotherhood of Darkness. Their goal is the destruction of the economy, not only of the United States, but of the entire world. And if you think we're through this contraction, I think you're sadly mistaken. Well, let's go to Mark calling us from Florence, Oregon. Hi, Mark. How are you doing? Haven't heard from you in a week or so.
Oh, well, I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. I can tell, as I say, that you're doing fine also, because you sound that way. It's great to speak with you and Ron again. I've spoken with Ron personally, and I was very impressed by him as being an honest man like yourself.
But believe me, we would not have him on this program if he were an honest man.
Well, I didn't mean in particularly a professional capacity, Dr. Stan, but just as a man, as a person. Of course, that will follow through into whatever somebody does, but you're absolutely right. You surely don't want to go get steered even slightly wrong when it comes to precious metals brokerage. But by the way, Dr. Stan, just a quick aside, and I have a question. I'm polishing things to send to you. I just wanted you to know that I'm working on it. I haven't forgotten you.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you.
And you're most welcome. Dr. Stan and Ron, I am, really just amazed at the amount of money, even if it's $12 trillion, and I think you mentioned, Ron, a few minutes ago, that was about 2 weeks ago, the $12 trillion figure of the total amount of the bailout amount so far. And Alex Jones was mentioning the figure of $27 trillion current with all stated obligations, perhaps, that will be what it will be in the very near future, according to the information which is published. And Alex generally has very good sources as well, in all areas, as well as economically. So that could very well be, but if you do take the figure of $27 trillion, that's actually 27 million million. It has gone so far beyond any point of return, and it has all been done so intentionally. Ron, I was just wondering for the audience out here if you could just please extrapolate from where we're at in the present, given this tremendous amount of money, which will, totally saturate the U.S. economy in a very negative way with inflation when it comes home to roost, like I believe Dr. Stan was mentioning in the beginning of the show. And where do we go from here? Not so much as a solution, because a solution would be interesting. I know the solutions. You probably know the solutions. It's just common sense. But, of course, everything's been done intentionally to break the economy down in a very short order, but systematically and step by step. And that's what I believe we're seeing here. It's obvious to me, and it probably is to you gentlemen. But I would just love to know, I think we all would, from someone who's really qualified, as you two gentlemen are. And Ron, if you could give your view on that, just do you feel it's inevitable that we go to certain next states of economic despair, and what would they be, what would they look like, and how would it affect all of us, the common American people, who this is being instigated against here? And I'll take my answer off the air, and God bless you all. I really appreciate the great show, Dr. Stan, as usual.
Thanks very much, Mark. Well, yes. How would you respond there, Ron?
Well, you know, whenever you start in a fiat money system, which is really a system based on debt with a central bank that creates the money out of nothing and loans it to the government, you start accumulating this national debt as it gets larger and larger and larger, and the interest on that debt that we're paying to these bankers just keeps increasing and increasing. It's just like an individual. If he takes his credit card and just keeps adding to the debt, he eventually reaches the point where he becomes insolvent. Well, the difference between you and me, or if we overspend, or a state, they don't have a printing press. This routine we have with the federal government tied into the central bank, where they just create the money, it's just nothing but counterfeit. They can just print their way out of it. But you reach a point where you destroy all confidence in the system, and at that point, the hyperinflation suddenly overnight will become massive deflation, because what was money is suddenly disappears. Or in the case you mentioned several times, they'll just pull the plug on it because they're creating the boom-bust mentality. I think the danger we face this time is that throughout our lifetime, Dr. Stan, we've been through many different cycles where they would have the boom bust, but there was always, the system was intact when it came out. We were just a little bit deeper in debt. I really believe we're at the point now where the whole system is ready to be destroyed to take us to Plan B, and that is to consolidate power into this emerging one-world government, and that's what their goal is, and I think they need to create the crisis, and I think that's what they're going to do. And you already seen it. You know, you just look at what Obama and his administration are doing now with this cap and trade. I just read something on the new health program, which basically said in the first few pages of it that all private insurance will be eliminated very quickly. So they're just making a mad dash towards total fascism, socialism, just total control of everything. So American people need to wake up to the fact that this is not just your typical economic a downdraft, and it's going to come back and recover as it did before.
I agree with you. Before we go on, Ron, I want you to get out your telephone number. I want you to get out how people get in touch with you and what they'd learn if they did get in touch with you.
Okay. My telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And as you know, I don't have a website, but I just enjoy talking with people, because usually most people that I meet, they're into it for the first time, so it's just kind of a learning process, and it's just hard to, I've written some newsletters. I'll send them a package out, which will help give them a primer to get started, but then I like to just be in touch with people and answer their questions and try to educate them on what's really happening.
Well, we had you as a guest out here at our annual conference a couple of years ago, and you talked about how the bond market was really sort of like the canary in the mine shaft. It was actually able to anticipate what was going to happen. I don't think most people understand that the bond market is about 10 times larger than the stock market. And of course, the stock market's pretty good size, but the bond market's even much bigger than that. What's happening to the value of corporate bonds and certainly of Treasury bonds?
Well, that's very interesting, because especially, let's take the Treasury bonds first. You know, as I explained in my speech back then, and in a letter I'll send out to people, the bond market is the foundation on which you've built this whole structure of debt. And if the foundation crumbles, then the whole structure is going to come down. So in my letter, I talked about how the bond market is the vigilante of inflation, and that, simply put, bond investors typically will not invest in bonds paying 5% once they understand inflation is destroying the value of the currency at the rate of, let's say, 10%. they would force interest rates higher so that they get a decent return on their money. And in so doing that, you would stop inflation in its tracks and you would slow the economy down. And that's what has happened through cycle after cycle. This cycle, it hasn't happened up to now. And I was just reading a very interesting article by Jim Willey, and he is suggesting that the Fed is now monetizing massive amounts of the bonds. In other words, they're printing the money to buy up the bonds to create the illusion that there's a demand for that bonds. And he's even went so far to say we're sending money and open up accounts overseas to give the impression that foreigners are buying those bonds when it's really our money up front. So what we're doing is another a scam thing, which is going to be caught up with, because eventually the people will wake up to what's happening. And so as we run the printing press to buy back the bonds, then we're going to destroy the value of the dollar, which in turn would destroy the value of bonds, because it's going to force interest rates higher. So the bond market is really in a state of teetering right now, and they're just pulling out all sorts of shenanigans to create the demand, or the illusion that there's a demand for those bonds.
Well, now,
how do you get foreigners to fund $200, $300, $400 trillion $4 to $5 trillion a year? They can't do it. So it's just smoke and mirrors that they're using to create the illusion, and of course that will not last forever as all of these scams are eventually exposed.
And of course, what happens if foreign countries stop buying our bonds? We're living on borrowed money as a nation, and despite the fact we're living on borrowed money, we're still giving money to foreign countries. We still have our troops in 130 nations throughout the world. We are still dominating nations throughout the world simply with our military power. A military power that is being sustained by borrowing money throughout the world. You can't keep doing this indefinitely. And if the other countries, for whatever reason, if the BRIC nations wanted to destroy America, they wouldn't need an army to do it. All they'd do would be simply to say, all right, fine, we're not going to give you any more money, and your whole system's going to collapse, and the whole house of cards would come tumbling down. Now, what's happening to the value of corporate bonds? Certainly, it's the bonds that the corporations have that gives them the money to build their factories and to hire their employees and to buy the products that they need to put into whatever they're producing, whatever widget it is. But the bonds are really the background of the are the backbone of the corporate system. So certainly we saw what happened to the people who had bonds in General Motors. They were simply written off. They were supposed to have the first claim in bankruptcy. And of course, the government said, well, we've changed the rules. So we don't abide by the law. Why, we decree that you'll get maybe 20 cents on the dollar. And of course, we're going to give the company to our friends in the unions and to our other friends. And this is basically what's happening. And so, I wonder if people are beginning to feel a little uncertain about holding bonds when suddenly we find that the government doesn't abide by the laws of our land.
Well, plus, every corporation in America basically is suffering now. So as they go deeper and deeper, as we go deeper and deeper into recession and depression, how are they going to pay back their bonds when their profits are being destroyed? And then if you look at this cap and trade, what is that going to do to the profit structure of corporate America? And then you look at the municipal bonds. We all know about California. You're close to that scene. I just heard today that Pennsylvania is not going to be able to pay off its vendors for the month of July. And I think someone mentioned there was at least 14 states that are in near bankruptcy. So every state, every municipality has to be suffering major, major budget crisis because their tax base is imploding as people lose their jobs. The real estate market that was creating massive tax revenues to all the municipalities and states is totally imploded, so that's no longer there. And, of course, the government's got used to spending that money when it was good times, and they just never realized that there is an economic cycle and things aren't always good. So now they're all in deep trouble, and I just would suspect you're going to see more and more
municipal bonds starting to get into deep trouble. And again, it's the fear of collapse or default that destroys confidence in at some point you just create a flight out of the bond market.
And, Chris, really, this is what you have to do. You create this massive inflationary spiral, and then you go into a deflationary spiral, and you've got to destroy the debt. You've got to get rid of all of this overlying debt before you can begin to go back into a cycle of prosperity. And, of course, you do that by simply destroying the value of the bonds. A lot of these bonds are going to go into default. The people who bought them are going to lose everything they've invested in. But this is the way the cycle ordinarily works. And I think a lot of people who are holding municipal bonds are going to find out that they really don't have any value. We've seen Argentina simply default on their bonds. The bonds here in the state of California are now junk bonds, and a lot of people are saying down the line, as of course California loses more in the way of income from income tax and from sales tax and from cigarette tax and from all these other taxes, why, they may very well default on their bonds. And what do you do when the government defaults on their bonds? Why, you're just out of luck. This is what people don't understand. And governments, states, municipalities, corporations can default on their bonds. That's what General Motors did. They defaulted on their bonds, and I think an awful lot of our corporations are going to be in real trouble. CIT Corporation, CIT Financial, was fortunately has been bailed out temporarily, but they were going to default on their bonds, and there were going to be billions of dollars that were lost, including the $2.5 billion that the TARP funds had gotten. Well, it looks like they're going to be out of, they'll be back in business for a year or so, but they're still not out of the woods yet, as more and more of their assets are just collapsing. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll try to at least explain to what's happening, but we're in a deflationary spiral at the present time. But one of these days, all of these dollars are going to come home to roost, and then heaven help us. Well, Ron, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I just kind of repeat what I said earlier, is that most of us that are 40, 50 years old, we've been through...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us.
4 o'clock today. So basically, this is a we're spending money and spending it very, very rapidly. We have to understand that there is an organized effort to destroy the economy of this nation. They know exactly what they're doing. They are protected. We are seeing the greatest transfer of wealth, the wealth of the American people, to the very, very wealthy. This small group of people I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you'd like to know who they are, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our syllabus of the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. And we give you their names, who they are, and you can understand why the government turned Chrysler over to Fiat. For nothing. We simply gave Fiat, an Italian company, control of one of the big three automakers here in the United States. Why did we do that? Why? Because the CEO and the assistant CEO of Fiat just happened to be members of the Trilateral Commission, as are the people who control Barack Obama: Timothy Geithner, Larry Summers, Paul Volcker, General James Jones, and certainly the people who control our State Department and our UN ambassador and the people who are in key positions in every aspect of our government. Only a small little group of people at the Brotherhood of Darkness, but they dominate every administration, and as we've said many times before, between 1976 and the year 2008, every president of the United States and or vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk, Forbidden Secret, and the syllabus. You need to get my talk on Financial Armageddon and the syllabus. You need to get Pat Wood's excellent DVD, which we offer on the Trilateral Commission. Incidentally, Pat will be our guest for the next hour and bring us up to date with his research on what's going on. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And certainly our webpage is radioliberty.com. Go there. You can listen to our programs on the Internet. Of course, if you don't have the Internet, you can listen to us on shortwave. Or you can get an inexpensive satellite system and listen to us 9 hours a day. And then our friend Joyce Riley, and certainly our friends Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer and Pastor Butch Palm. We certainly on our satellite feed have the information that you need to keep abreast of the things that are happening, not only in the financial field, but certainly in the, as far as your health is concerned. And you, certainly if you'd like to, you certainly get some health products, the things that you really need to have on hand, like high-dose vitamin D and Alibiotic, which we take whenever we start to come down with a sniffle or something like that, something to boost your immune system. Alibiotic's nothing but oil of oregano and garlic and certainly oil of elderberry and a couple of other products. But we are going to be seeing a return of this influenza virus. Now, we don't know if this is genetically modified, but we will tell you that certainly we've interviewed people who claim that they have been told by people working within genetic warfare labs that this is the H1N1 swine flu is genetically modified virus. And of course, that the certainly everybody should be very concerned about this vaccine they're producing. I talked to Dr. Blaylock today. He says it's going to have squalene in it, and we'll have an epidemic of autoimmune diseases, diseases like scleroderma and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and Hashimoto's disease and the myriad of autoimmune diseases, diabetes, things. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease, and one reason we have so much of it, I believe, is because of the vaccination programs. Isn't it interesting? We don't see autism. We don't see asthma in Amish children, or almost never. I wonder why. Because they don't take the vaccinations, and you shouldn't either. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And I'm going to just go to my producer here for just a moment. We'll be back in just... This is Dr. Stan, and of course we're hoping that we're going to have with us Patrick Wood for this hour. Patrick, as you know, comes from August Review, and Patrick has been at this game for a good long while. It was in the mid-1970s that he and our good friend Professor Anthony Sutton, who has actually been a fellow at the Hoover Institute, but we think of Hoover as being a conservative institute. Well, that really wasn't conservative. Herbert Hoover was an internationalist. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And, of course, the Hoover Institute carried on his traditions. It was all right to talk about the advantages of, certainly, of the form of government that we had, the conservative form of government, but never talk about the secret organizations working behind the scenes to bring about a world government. And that is what the Council on Foreign Relations has always been. And it certainly was the primary organization controlling our government from certainly the beginning of the Second World War up until the 1973 when David Rockefeller created the Trilateral Commission, which really sort of took over the leadership of this movement. And certainly the Council on Foreign Relations is sort of like the Farm Club, but the Trilateral Commission seems to be the primary organization manipulating things today, by which David Rockefeller and the small group of leaders are working to create a one-world government, a new international order. And, of course, as David Rockefeller says on page 405 of his memoirs, you know, some people accuse the Rockefeller family and me of being part of a secret cabal that is conspiring against the best interests of the United States and, of course, of working to create a new international order. And, of course, if that is the charge, I am guilty. And I'm proud of it. Those are his words, not mine. Page 405, you can check it out on the Internet. We publish that in my newsletters, and you can simply get it in a search engine. Or you can purchase the memoirs, David Rockefeller's memoirs, are available through Radio Liberty. And, of course, if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that you'll certainly be able to verify what I'm saying. David Rockefeller, in his own memoirs, admits he is part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, working to establish a new international order. Well, of course, that is the Trilateral Commission, and with us right now is probably one of the, well, I would say a leading expert on the Trilateral Commission. Most organizations talk about the Council on Foreign Relations today and try to convince us that's the number one organization. I don't think it is. I think it's the Trilateral Commission. But certainly the people in the Trilateral Commission, most of them have been in the Council on Foreign Relations. They found to be worthy. Now they're in the next higher level of this Brotherhood of Darkness effort to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, the freedom of our people, and establish a one-world government. Well, Patrick, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much.
It's always good to have you with us. And, of course, Patrick, you, of course, are on the front lines of this battle, watching the Trilateral Commission, watching what's going on financially, and so the markets are concerned. And so why don't you give us your take on what is going on today?
Well, Dr. Stan, as you know, the financial system, including the stock markets, the currency markets, the bond markets, and even the commodities markets are all very closely related to the new global world order. And these are areas that have been dominated by the global elite for decades. And so today when we watch what's going on with these various markets and so on, we also keep an eye on what the, you know, like members of the Trilateral Commission are doing, how they fit into this, how they are players in the game, if you will. And it always makes for an interesting, every week is an interesting week, let me put it that way. And one of our recent shows that we had, we noted how many members of the Trilateral Commission had been appointed to top positions in Obama's administration. There were 11 at the time. Just recently, just a couple of days ago, there was one more very, very key appointment that Obama made to the State Department, a Mr. Robert Hormats, who was a vice chairman of Goldman Sachs. That's no surprise. Also a member of the Trilateral Commission. And he has been appointed to a position that will essentially refine or redevelop Washington's relationships with China, India, and Russia to base those relations on economic and free trade and environmental issues. And so this is number 12 of the key important, the key posts that Obama has filled, that are filled by members of the Trilateral Commission. And in this case, it's interesting that Goldman Sachs continues to play in this game as well. Goldman Sachs, as you know, has been, along with J.P. Morgan Chase, has been one of the major, major players in orchestrating the bailout, the rating of the U.S. Treasury. There's so many incestuous relationships between our government, the administration, and Goldman Sachs that it just boggles the mind, absolutely boggles the mind.
And the thing is that most people are totally unaware. They know about Goldman Sachs, but they don't know its relationship to the Trilateral Commission. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Patrick Wood. And Patrick was simply talking about the fact that in the past, why there have been 11 of the 87 American members of the Trilateral Commission, 11 of the 87 members of the American members of the Trilateral Commission surround Barack Obama. And just this last week, another one member of the Trilateral Commission was appointed to a key position in the State Department, where he's going to develop our relationships to Russia and China and other countries. So the Trilateral Commission is really directing America's foreign and domestic policies, but we can't let the American people know that. Of course, Patrick points out the relationship between Goldman Sachs and our government. Of course, Goldman Sachs, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, comes from the Trilateral Commission. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, Mr. Diamond, if not a member now, has certainly been a member of the Trilateral Commission very recently. But Goldman Sachs seems to be the major institution that is really running so much of what's going on today. And the close relationship between Goldman Sachs and the Obama administration, most people don't understand in many ways why the Goldman Sachs runs the Obama administration. They were the largest source of funding for Barack Obama's candidacy for the presidency of the United States, and the average citizen has no idea what's going on. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, it's interesting that the sentiment that's coming against companies like Goldman Sachs right now. I'm sure you're probably aware that Rolling Stone magazine recently carried an article that was just a severe critique of Goldman Sachs and its domination of our government. In some areas, it might have gone a little bit overboard, but my point in bringing it up is that Rolling Stone is not what you'd magazine is not what you'd call a conservative any kind of a right wing publication for sure. And they're fearless in what they publish many times, but they did publish this article. It was incredibly critical of Goldman Sachs, named a lot of names, a lot of associations, and so on. And people outside of the professional information industry are picking up on this now, that there really are some bad people that are taking our country down for their own benefit. They're starting to catch on to the scam. And I can't think of a better word to use other than scam. They put Bernie Madoff away for 150 years. What's curious about Madoff is that his trial was not public. It was not made public whatsoever. There was no co-conspirators that were indicted at the same time he was, and certainly there must have been dozens and dozens of people. But it would seem like there's something going on in Wall Street that is far, far beyond the imagination of anybody out in the public. And things like what Bernie Madoff did, taking down $50 billion, may have just been the tip of the iceberg on what these other companies, some of these other companies have done. And Madoff may well have just been kind of a player, if you will, along with these larger companies. And companies like Goldman Sachs right now, they're getting well-deserved heat.
Well, I certainly agree with you, but actually, you know, Bernie Madoff was a piker compared with the Congress of the United States, which, of course, has a gigantic Ponzi scheme. It's called Medicare and Social Security, and, of course, they are Ponzi schemes. They pay out the money that comes in and keep everybody happy. The trouble is they replace the money that they steal from Medicare Trust Fund and Social Security Trust Fund with IOUs, with no money to back them up. And right now, of course, Medicare is actually paying out more than it's bringing in. That's why they've got to, of course, begin to modify the health care delivery system. They can't tell the American people it's all been a lie, it's all been a Ponzi scheme, and that's why they've got to start rationing access to health care for the senior citizens and making it so they will not be able to get independent insurance. In fact, there's even the stipulations in some of the legislation legislation coming forward that senior citizens are going to have to submit to counseling on how to kill themselves. After all, off themselves, they're too expensive to keep, and they're going to at least have to hear the message, their obligation, to really eliminate themselves and to and how they can go about doing it. Euthanasia is illegal in every one of our states, and yet it's going to be openly advocated. If this, certain parts of this health care bill go through, it is unbelievable, and most senior citizens have no idea what lays in store for them under Obamacare.
Well, that's certainly true. And I hate to say that even Obama himself doesn't exactly know. When he was questioned on a specific piece of information in the pending bill, he himself admitted that he was not familiar with that provision.
You really, there's no way. You're talking about a 1,000-page bill. How would you be able to read and remember everything in the legislation? And most of our congressmen can't read it, and it keeps changing so rapidly. You should have a legislation that has about 3 pages long, and we ought to pass a legislation saying no bill can be more than 3 pages long.
Well, we should also pass along with that, should be that no bill will be passed that has not been personally written by a member of one of our representatives or senators. And the way these bills are written, they're not penned by staff members necessarily of congressmen or senators. They're penned by lobbyists, by lawyers that are hired by these giant companies that are going to stand to benefit from this package. And they supply the legal talent to sew these documents together. You can't. There's not enough free legal expertise in the House or the Senate at any given time to put together a cohesive 1,000-page document. It can't be done. You go to a lawyer and ask them to make a 10-page will. If they have to write it from scratch, it's going to take them a long time. And every one of these bills certainly is written from scratch. But the people who are writing it are not our elected representatives or even their employees. They're lobbyists. They work for lobbyists and so on. They get together in their own dark, smoke-filled rooms, and they create these documents, and then they hand it back to the senators or congressmen and say, here's what you're going to present. And they give them an executive overview of it and say, this is what's in it. Trust us.
And then, of course, Obama has talked about transparency and transparency and legislation, and yet very often the bill is going to be enacted, on a specific day, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, they come up with another 200 pages and slap it on the congressman's desk just before it begins discussion. There's right. No way to read it. There's no way to discuss it. There's no way to oppose it. We don't have representative government. We have government that gives the form of being representative, but is really controlled by a small clique of very wealthy people who have an agenda, and that is to transform America from a free society into an authoritarian one by violating the Constitution, because most of what's being done is totally unconstitutional, and our founders would certainly roll over in the grave if they could see how they undermined the provisions of the Ninth and the Tenth Amendments.
I expect they would, and if we had a truth in labeling regulation in our Congress that required that everybody who put even one line of text in any given bill had to disclose his name, his association, who he's working for, etc., that the American people would find out very quickly who is behind all of these various pieces of legislation that nobody reads. And It's wrong. It's morally wrong. It's ethically wrong. It's probably illegal in many cases if it were ever tested in court. But, of course, nobody is pointing the finger to test it in court. It should be tested in court.
Oh, I agree with you totally. In fact, we should have legislation that no congressman is allowed to vote on any piece of legislation he has not personally read through from beginning to end at least 3 times so he can understand what he's voting on.
Right.
In fact, my friend Bill Richardson, state senator here in the state of California for many years, wrote a book. It was entitled, You don't think we really read those bills, do you? And that was, of course, it was a tongue-in-cheek, but there is no way to read all the legislation. That's why it needs to be simplified. It needs to be sitting there for some time. And you cannot amend it at the last minute to change the meaning. So we got real problems. But behind all of this are these powerful forces which coordinate this whole move to move us from being a free society into a totalitarian society in a totalitarian world. And so much of this involves organizations like the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, Club of Rome, etc., etc.
Well, yes, Dr. Stan, and my clarion call is that regardless of our political process that we have with two-party system, you know, Democrats and Republicans and whoever else might be in the middle, if we don't extract these people from our political process and our administration and our government, and by people, I'm talking about members of the Trilateral Commission who are using their influence to control our country by getting top-level positions in our country, if we don't extract these people and bar them from interacting with our legislative and administrative officials, our country is most certainly doomed, is absolutely, positively doomed. And electing another president, a conservative president, is not going to fix it. We need to get rid of these people who are hiding behind the scenes, creating the policies, shoving it down our legislators' throats, and controlling the money machine for their own pecuniary interest.
And, of course, unless you know who they are, why you can't figure out what they're doing. Well, certainly one of them is Dianne Feinstein. And, of course, you'll see her getting up there, of course, complaining about another member of the Trilateral Commission and their policies, whereas behind the scenes they're working hand in glove. But they can't let the American people know that. It's all the great theater, the great political theater, and people really believe they understand what's going on. They have no idea. Give us a call at number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Patrick, you know, what's happening as far as the economy is concerned?
Well, Dr. Stan, there seems to be kind of a concerted effort right now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
But there are a lot of people in the Council on Foreign Relations who are social climbers. But when you really want to get to the top of the apex, you are asked to join the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, this is where the people who control the big banks and the big corporations and the major media, and there's only 87 of the members right at the present time, and 87 American members, of course, is the people who control the banks and the government. In the Orient, they're the people who control the banks and the corporations and government in Europe. And then, of course, but that's separate from the Americans. Only it's 87 Americans, but they're the ones who are running the Obama administration, but they ran the Bush administration before that, the Clinton administration before that, and certainly the first Bush administration, the Reagan administration, the Carter administration. It doesn't matter which party's in power. The Trilateral Commission always, of course, runs the things. And even under Ronald Reagan, after promising the American people he would never allow the people in the Trilateral Commission to control his administration, he selected as his primary assistant the man who really ran the Reagan administration, George Herbert Walker Bush, member of the Trilateral Commission, as his vice president. And after, of course, the attempt on Reagan's life, he saw how things were really run in the world. It wasn't just by coincidence that the man who tried to kill Ronald Reagan just happened to be very closely affiliated with George Herbert Walker Bush. He was the son of a friend of the Bush family. Isn't that a coincidence? After that, Ronald Reagan, of course, turned over the running of the administration to George Herbert Walker Bush, member of the Trilateral Commission. So pick up the story there. Certainly, what do you see happening, Patrick, as far as the economy is concerned? You commented that you think that the covering up the severe straits as far as the commercial market is concerned, and certainly that things that's going to happen is going to be the collapse of the commercial market.
Well, I think that's the next big iceberg that's just kind of hiding underneath the water, and eventually it's going to pop and go down. And we started this bear market that we have seen this last year in fall of 2007 is when it really began in earnest, and it continued down, severely down, until March of this year. And since March, early March, we've had a significant rally in the stock market. We view this as a bear market rally, even to this day, right now, still a bear market rally. And it's maturing now. It's showing signs of maturing. In other words, it's ripe for completion. And I believe at some point, there may not be a trigger event, but at some point, this market will run out of steam, and it will head down again into the next wave of the primary bear market that we started in fall of 2007. And my guess is this next wave down will make the first wave look relatively mild by comparison, as people, especially as people realize that not only have things not gotten better, but they've actually gotten worse, that there was no hope from all these stimulus packages that promised deliverance but showed, but gave us nothing except more debt. And the other big iceberg that's sitting out there besides commercial stuff, I believe the last great bubble to pop is going to be government debt. And we're seeing signs already of resistance against investors willing to purchase government debt. China's having problems selling its debt. We're having trouble selling our debt. And even though it hasn't really hit the fan yet, there's going to be a time when our government can no longer sell the debt that is needed to fund all these deficit spending programs. And when that happens, it's going to be, on a national basis, it's going to be like California. They'll be letting federal prisoners go. They'll be cutting back education programs, welfare programs, you name it, to put the budget back into balance. And our debtors will come to us and they will say, you're going to dance to our drummer now. This is the Goldman Sachs of the world. They will be dictating to us what we do with our budget. And it's going to be a very, very tough time for America. That could be an iceberg type event. For instance, maybe a Fitch or a Standard & Poor's lowering the ratings from AAA maybe to, AAB or something like that. It would be a huge shock to the world.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, of course. And this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest is Patrick Wood. And that was a rendition of God Bless America by certainly one of our favorite performers, Kate Smith. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And I never get tired of hearing Kate talk about God Bless America. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Patrick Wood of August Review. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or out across America at 464-8295. Patrick says that the next big bubble is going to be government debt. Now, we've already seen why here in the state of California, why first they lowered the ratings on California bonds to, well, about junk level. I think they're triple B. And, of course, there's going to be a serious question about whether the United States will ever be able to pay back its debt. I mean, how are you going to pay back your real debt? If we were to use the GAAP techniques, that's the general accepted accounting techniques of accounting, our debt would be probably $65 trillion. We require, of course, corporations to use GAAP, general accepted accounting principles, but our government doesn't do that. They simply money in, money out, and that's how they do it. But what about, of course, all the liabilities for Social Security and, of course, for various government pensions and for Medicare and all of these things that have been promised, the highway pension funds? Of course, we see stealing money from all of these various pension funds and trust funds and putting in IOUs. But, of course, that should be put as part of our debt. It's not part of our debt. And one of these days, why, the day of reckoning is going to come. There is no way, you know, we're going to be even be able to pay the interest on our debt. Our interest on our debt is going to be so high that it would and to pay Social Security payments, we would have to actually take about 80% of people's income, and then they'd have to pay income tax on with the other 20%. There wouldn't be anything left, so everybody's going to quit working. These socialist schemes don't work, and I think it was Margaret Thatcher who said the thing that really doesn't work about socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money to spend. The thing about socialism, you eventually run out of other people's money to spend, and our politicians, they just love to be the honorable this, the honorable that, to get their pensions, to get their prestige, to get their big salaries, to get their special health care. They're not going to go into Obamacare. They're not going to go into Social Security. They're not going to have all the same principles applied to them as to the common people. Well, I would think that the most fitting thing to do would be that they would be forced to go into the public health care program just like everybody else and start planning on how they will, of course, take the black pill when the time comes. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Patrick, would you want to develop the idea that time is coming when certainly the states, the municipalities, the federal government are not going to be able to pay their debts?
Well, the only way we can pay anything right now, Dr. Stan, is by borrowing more money. And the tax receipts are down so far because of the economy right now that even in, gosh, even in April of this year, which is always has always traditionally been a surplus month because of tax revenues coming in, the government ran a deficit even in April at the peak of the revenue season. And so we're not contributing enough money to even scratch the surface of the debt right now that we have, much less, you know, all these new programs that Obama's trying to shove down our throat, like the health care program. And, you know, the simple fact is anybody can add this up. I think probably even a sixth grader could do it. You add up what we owe, you add up the interest on it, and you add up the programs that are in place right now. There is not even a possibility that this kind of a scheme can continue. I use the overused word sustainable. It is not sustainable. It will fail like a house of cards at some point in time, just like Bernie Madoff's little empire came crashing down when he couldn't find enough people. new people to sell his cockeyed, you know, fraudulent investments to, he was discovered for the fraud that he was, and he fell in one day. It didn't take a long time for him to go down. When it was discovered how hollow and bankrupt he was, he went down in a single day. That's the way it's going to happen eventually when people realize, when the world realizes that the United States is out of money, can't tax anymore, our economy is shot, riddled with holes. When it finally dawns on them that the people that own our debt are going to come calling. They're going to come calling for it, and they're going to push us into bankruptcy.
Well, of course, the interesting thing is that President Obama wants to fund his Medicare, his new health care system, by taxing the wealthy. And he wants to increase their taxes, so 3-4 up to even 5%. But, of course, then the states want to increase the taxes on the wealthy as well. And pretty soon, you know, when you're taxing the wealthy, a lot of these wealthy people are not going to invest. They're not going to make the incomes that they did before. Why would they possibly do that when, of course, it's all going to go to the government? So do you think that the solution is to tax the wealthy to fund all of these irresponsible programs?
Well, this is, of course, it won't work. There's not, the wealthy don't have enough money. Even if they gave 100% of their money right now to the government, there still wouldn't be enough to pay for all these programs and cover the national debt. But, you know, we have to face the fact that Obama is a Marxist. I hate to use the M word, but we need to be blunt. This man is a Marxist. And as such, he is acting according to the Marxist playbook. All of these redistribution of wealth programs, taxation programs, and so on, are straight out of the Marxist socialist playbook. And this is one reason why socialists in America and communists in America are praising Obama for what he's doing, because he's doing exactly what they want him to do. And so, you know, we're exposing the weakness of socialism and Marxism, in that history has shown that Marxism is only capable of destruction. It has no capacity, it has no philosophical grounding for building anything. It does not build. In other words, it's not a building philosophy. And so, in history, socialism has only destroyed the countries that it's entered. Russia, China, Mozambique, Rhodesia, etc., Vietnam, Cambodia. It only destroys. It never builds. And so our country has been usurped by a destroyer, you see. And this is why, until we get rid of this man and his people and his policies, America has no capacity to recover, because he will continue to do things that destroy. Even if you and I go out and start businesses and hire people and get all excited about it and borrow money or whatever, we can count on a Marxist CEO to continue to do things that will destroy the fabric of our capitalist society.
But why would anybody want to go out and borrow money and work very hard to make money when the government's going to take, as it said in a recent Wall Street Journal editorial page article about, at least in California and in New York, where they have large state income taxes, up to 58% of all income would go in the form of taxes. That really discourages, of course, people from working and investing and risking their savings. Why would anybody want to risk what they have if the government's going to take it all away from you and you're not going to make any taxes? You're not going to make any income because the taxes are so high. This is what's going to do. And in a major recession, where the one thing we need is more jobs, they're doing everything they can to discourage the production of jobs. And the average individual doesn't see. They say one thing, they talk about how we want to get jobs going, and then they bring in programs designed to destroy the entrepreneurial spirit and designed to destroy and prevent job production.
That's correct. And, of course, when business people, entrepreneurs, across America are faced with the reality of the destructive cycle that's going on, they will back away from, it changes the nature of our economy right there, I should say, because those types of people will retreat rather than advance. And that has a further dampening effect on the entire economy. I think something like 80% of all the jobs in America are with small companies, with small businesses that have under 100 employees. This is the entrepreneurial spirit that's made America great. It's not the GEs and the Walmarts and the Goldman Sachs of the world. What has made our country great have been these small business people who have been willing to take a risk because they could make an income if they were successful. And they're greatly discouraged in this kind of economy. And the more they see a destroyer at the helm, the more they will realize there's no point bucking it because, if they're not destroyed this year, they will be next year or the year after. One good thing, by the way, if there's any kind of a blessing in this, the current polls are showing that Obama has fallen below Jimmy Carter. In the number of 6 months now into his presidency, he actually has fallen in popularity and job rating below Jimmy Carter at the same time. And as you remember, Jimmy Carter had a lot of people mad at him, including a lot of Democrats mad. And so more and more Democrats are falling out of the Democrat, or at least Obama's camp, saying this man is too liberal, he's too left-wing, and he doesn't represent the core of the Democrat Party.
But, of course, they were able to get the cap-and-trade bill through Congress. That was a disaster because they only did it by, five or six votes. But they were able to twist enough arms and break enough ankles and make enough threats to get that legislation through. I don't know what's going to happen when it gets to the Senate, but the cap-and-trade is a disaster. It's going to increase federal taxes on gasoline 77 cents a gallon. It's going to double or triple the cost of electricity. It's going to drive industry out of the country because the crisis power is going to be so high. And of course, if you are doing anything at all where you actually produce any emissions, carbon emissions, you're going to have to purchase these carbon credits from other countries so that you can continue to pollute. Is not going to influence what's happening in the world because India and China have said, we're not going to go along with this. You go ahead and destroy your economy and we're right behind you. We think what you're doing is really great, but we're not going to do that. We can't afford to. And, of course, Hillary's been over there telling the Indians how they have to curb their emissions, and they're just smiling at her and say, you're doing a great job, Hillary. You just go ahead. You take care of America, and, of course, we're going to look after India, and we're going to look after China. The biggest polluters in the world, we have the cleanest air anywhere in the world. And what are they going to do? They're going to use this whole system is an attack on the manufacturing base of America to drive out what little remaining manufacturing we still have. We're down to about 11% of the world's manufacturing, and I think we ought to just start singing sayonara because much more of it is going to simply disappear from here. And if you don't not forced out by carbon credits and the expense of that, which will drive up the cost of your goods, of course, the other countries will be able to produce goods cheaper because they're not going to have to buy the carbon credits. But if that's not going to do it, it's going to be the price of power, and it's going to be the price of green energy, which is going to destroy even more jobs. And the average American has no idea. In fact, I don't think the average American is behind cap and trade. Do you, Pat?
Well, I don't. And I want to point out that this whole cap and trade and thing, which is tied into global warming, of course, and climate change, is a genuine production, an exclusive production, of members of the Trilateral Commission. I hate to bring it back to this again, but Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan have been the two driving forces behind cap-and-trade legislation. This is documented at this point, and they are the ones that are pushing for the trading systems and for the legislation to get in place, where they will stand to make trillions of dollars over a number of years. And you remember that Al Gore, we're all going to die tomorrow, Gore, has single-handedly brought the issue of global warming, bad science and all, to the world's attention as its champion. And he is also, and of course, he's a member of the Trilateral Commission, and he has invested heavily in companies and trading systems that will benefit from cap and trade. Some of those companies are owned jointly between Al Gore and Goldman Sachs. This is the biggest, the next biggest scam to come along, probably since NAFTA, in right at the transition between George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. NAFTA was written by a member of the Trilateral Commission, Carla Hills. It was passed off by two members of the Trilateral Commission, George Bush and Bill Clinton, passed into law, and has single-handedly been the most destructive force in our country for the last 20-plus years. And this scam was a Trilateral Commission scam back then, and this cap-and-trade thing is of the same nature, except that it's much bigger, because it permeates the entire society and really the entire world. And they will try to force this down the throats of other countries, and they won't do it by legislation. They'll do it by stealth in the end, because they know how to get things done in these various countries. And I'm just thinking again of you know, the book that you've discussed before, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. They will send their economic hitman out and say, this is the way that, you know, we're going to play the game, guys. You come to the poker table. This is the ante that you must bring. And that's going to be the end of the discussion. So, you know, they've got us by the throat again on this. It looks like it's going to go through eventually. And, you know, the people that will make the money will be the Goldman Sachs's of the world. The people that lose the money will be the little people, the businesses, the captains of industry that have made us great. They will go down. The others will go up.
And what a great tragedy it is. America is under attack today, but we're not under attack by Osama bin Laden living in a cave. We're not under attack by Al-Qaeda. We're not even under attack by the communists. We're under attack by people on Wall Street and the Al Gores and the Goldman Sachs and the people who funded the environmental movement. And who is that? Why, in many cases, it's the great oil companies that funded the whole environmental movement. Why would they do that? Why, very simply, to destroy their opposition, because, of course, they can survive all these government regulations. The other people can't, and this is how it really works. You go into the original funding of the Sydney of the environmental movement, and you find out it was corporations like Chevron and other major oil companies that were actually funding the environmental movement, the greatest scam of all time. And now it's apex, global warming produced by CO2 emissions, the most important miracle gas in the world. Patrick, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for it.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
My telephone number up here in North Idaho is area code 208-712-0170. And if nobody answers the phone, leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. And our forecasting site has been simplified a bit. It's now called augustforecast.com. That's similar to augustreview.com, which looks backwards, but augustforecast.com looks forward in time. And comments and analyzes important trends in our country today.
And people really need some help. If you try to play the stock market, you're going to get whipsawed and destroyed. And believe me, I believe Pat is absolutely right. We're watching a bear rally, and when this thing turns around, it's going to fall like a rock. Patrick, thanks very much. We'll talk to you again, I think, later this week on one of our morning programs. But God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
And you too. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me simply mention we do carry an excellent DVD, Patrick Wood, talking about the Trilateral Commission. It's the talk he gave at our meeting in October of last year. That's the October Radio Liberty Conference. And so that is available. Of course, my talk on the financial tsunami with the syllabus, given 3 or 4 years ago. My talk on the financial Armageddon, given very recently. And, of course, the syllabus that goes with that will give you the excellent understanding of what's going on. The book Meltdown by Thomas Wood. Actually, it was on the New York Times bestseller, but it was an excellent book. Going into the background of the philosophy of Ludwig von Mises and why we should let the whole system collapse and rebuild it again, but do away with the Federal Reserve System, which is a privately owned central bank intent upon destroying the fabric of our society. Now, Thomas Wood doesn't address that aspect of it. He doesn't get into the brotherhood of darkness, but he gives you a pretty good idea of what's going on economically. Meltdown, we certainly recommend. So you get out of the DVD by Patrick Wood, Trilateral Commission, how it created the current financial problem, my talk on the financial Armageddon, my talk on the financial tsunami, both of them available from Radio Liberty. We have a pamphlet on the history of money. You have to understand what's going on. We have another pamphlet on the financial meltdown. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have our speakers lined up for our October 25th conference. Catherine Albrecht will be with us. William Grieg will be with us. Ashley Mote, who's a member of the European Parliament, will be with us. There's going to be a great lineup. Tom Horn, who will be talking on certainly these incredible experiments they're doing of trying to unite the genetic form of animals and human beings. And as incredible as it seems, these things are really going on today. Well, and then, of course, I'll be speaking on vaccines and what you must understand about vaccination. We will tell you what nobody else is going to tell you and explain to you why vaccines may be effective, but they're not safe because, of course, they mobilize the wrong part of the immune system, and that is why the Amish children don't get the autism and asthma, but the rest of the children do. We're destroying a whole generation of our children, and, of course, with that, we will destroy our nation. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to come to our conference, you get your reservations in now. Of course, you make your reservations at the hotel. And, of course, that's October 25th. Going to be a great turnout. And, of course, it's held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day, not get much accomplished, and then, of course, read our newsletters and certainly tell others about Radio Liberty. Encourage them to listen. Best thing you could do for them, and then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.